Grandstand Cricket.
ABC Grandstand at Stumps.
Oh! He's played it onto his stumps. He's out. On the hottest day in Perth in 21 months, the mercury went past 38 degrees in most of the city, 38.8 the very top. We saw a sizzling start at the top of the Australian order after the Aussies won the toss and elected to bat, a searing catch by the Indian captain and a deck that promises plenty of headaches for batting sides in these test days to come. Stumps on day one, the Australians 6 for 277. The not-out batsmen, Cummins on 11 and Payne on 16. Grandstand at Stumps with you, Clint Wilden, downstairs on the boundary alongside Ed Cowan and Dirk Nannis. Gentlemen, what did we make of all of that? A gutsy decision by some, with Tim Payne electing to bat after looking at a very green deck, but one overall that seems to have played out. There's been some swings of momentum. Good day's test cricket, Ed.
It was a superb day's test cricket, Clint, for mine. As you say, it was, you know, on the face of it, a courageous call to bat first on what looked to be a wicket that would be offering plenty of assistance to the bowlers. But I think Tim Payne saw those cracks and he thought, on a hot day, I want to be batting today. I do not want to be batting last on this wicket. And it was the right call. And then the Indian bowlers were playing games, well, playing along with the game for the Australians, served up a bit of junk in the first session. They got off to a flyer and then wrestled back momentum. And then Australia, I think, certainly well ahead in this game. They'd be very pleased with how the day ended up. For mine, advantage Australia.
I don't think it was necessarily a brave decision. I reckon it would have been a brave decision the other way.
Would have been a stupid decision the other way, but on the face of it, it was a brave decision, I thought.
Yeah, I think India tactically were okay. I just don't think their bowlers executed exactly what they wanted to do. And I thought they let Australia off the hook a couple of times. One in the first hour, I don't think they bowled particularly well. They started off a bit too short and allowed the Australians to leave quite comfortably. And then they probably got a rocket at some stage from Virat. You've got to pitch the ball up. Then they went too far the other way and started pitching it up and getting punished down the ground. And then once they got that wicket, they had a really strong period. Australia had four down for 140 at one stage. Head and Marsh, fresh batsman to the crease. And then I think they went away from that plan again and started bowling a bit of loose stuff. And I think they're the two periods of the day where Australia really wrestled control. And I think at the end of the day, 6 for 277, Australia would be very, very happy with their position at the end of the day.
And just a recap of things, great batting at the top, a partnership of 112 runs between Aaron Finch and, of course, alongside him, Marcus Harris. Finch made 50, Harris made 70, and then Khawaja put on 5, Hanscom 7, Sean Marsh 45, Travis Head 58. The Australians finding their way through to stump 6 for 277. Cummins 11, Payne 16. Of the bowlers who wrapped up the day for India, Shami 19 overs, 3 maidens, none for 63, and Bumrah 22 overs, 8 maidens, 1 for 41. We've been lucky enough to be joined, Peter Hanscom. How tough was it out there today, Pete?
Yeah, pretty tough. And I think the wicket showed that you never really set. You know, you get a couple of starts and guys even, you know, 50s and 70s and still something happening to get them out. So it's a tough wicket, but credit to the guys that did score runs today. That was an awesome effort, and I think we're in a pretty good position.
It did appear to be a few, well, interesting cracks opening up, and from, again, our vantage point, not a place you'd want to be batting much later on in this test match, I'd imagine, if that continues.
Yeah, it was amazing how much they actually opened up on day one. I guess, obviously, the heat and the conditions play their part, and it'll be interesting to see with a bit more cooler weather in the next couple of days to see what happens to them. But as this goes on, it's going to get tougher and tougher, so every run we get here in the first inning is going to be crucial.
We were talking beforehand about whether or not you would roll the dice and perhaps bowl with the way that the pitch looked, and with India having deciding to go with the four quicks, we wondered what their plans were. Was there ever any doubt in the mind of Tim Payne that he was going to bat if he won the toss?
There were a couple of discussions this morning, but I think the whole, like, everything factored into batting. We turned up and the wicket had changed a little bit from yesterday already. And it was stinking hot today as well, so you don't really want to stand in the field for that long. So I think it looks like it's the right call, but we'll have to wait and see how the match plays out and go from there.
Pete, it seemed as though batting at the northern end was certainly more difficult than batting at the southern end. Did you notice that when you were batting? That was just an observation from the commentary box.
Yeah, I got out at the southern end, but I got hit in the gloves in the northern end. So, it was a bit tougher, I think, from the northern end. You're right, there was a couple of cracks that are on a length and they're in line with the stumps. And then the southern end might be a bit more where, you know, Gazza for us is the one where he can try and use those footmarks created by Ishant Sharma, hopefully.
And just talk me through the psyche of a batsman when a ball does leap up as a couple did to you and bang you on the gloves and then one ducks low. What's the key to good run scoring in conditions like that?
Well, you just got to trust. I think it's normal that it's going to bounce normally. After I got hit in the gloves, I made sure I asked Sean Marsh up the other end to make sure that ball had actually jumped and it wasn't just me missing the ball. And he confirmed that. So, yeah, it's just backing that it's going to bounce normally. And then if something happens, you go from there.
End of the day, 6 for 277. What's your read on the game situation now?
I think we're in a very, very strong position. There was a moment there where we lost a couple of wickets where we were thinking, well, if we can scrape to 250, like this is going to be it's going to be a good first inning score. And then, you know, that last session was a great one for us. And I think that's from all the hard work that the two openers did for us in that first session, really set us up to score big in that last session. And we've come away in a good spot and, you know, top it off tomorrow and hopefully get a few early ones.
Once Sean Marsh went out and Tim Payne came to the wicket, it seemed like Travis Head completely changed his game, started throwing his bat at the ball. Was that something that they discussed?
Nah, I'm pretty sure he's throwing his bat at the ball right from ball one, mate. We've seen Trav bat like that a couple of times for the Sacker when he's playing over in Perth, and it seems to work for him. I think he averages something like 110 at the Wacker, which is similar wicket here. So he went about his business the way he saw fit, and, you know, credit to him, those 58 runs were crucial, and it was a real turning point, put the pressure back on them, so it was great.
How do you have summed up the Indian bowling performance? It seemed a little inconsistent to start with, but then they found their line, their length through the day and sort of waned between the two over the course of the day. You know, we saw so much discipline from them in Adelaide. Do you feel like that test almost had worn them out a little bit? They were off the money, I thought, to start with.
Yeah, I think it's a tough effort for them. I mean, they bowled 110, 120 overs in that second innings in Adelaide, which was only on Monday. And then to come out here on a 38, 39 degree day and bowl all day again, it's tough work. And I mean, I'm not a fast bowler, but I dare say that hurts. So that's our plan. If we can get more overs into them in this first innings, it's going to be great at the back end of the game and in the next two tests as well.
One last one before we let you go, Pete. But in terms of, great to see Aaron Finch, who's had a few battles, be able to perform like he did today, and that big partnership that you mentioned at the very top with a man who sometimes can forget just is already in his second test match in Marcus Harris. It was terrific to see the pair of them up there at the top of the order.
Yeah, it was awesome. I think Finchie set the tone there by when he came out and he pulled that third ball of the day and it goes to the boundary for four, and it's like, all right, Finchie's away here. Like, this is, it's great signs, and he's showing that the wicket's not actually that bad and backing the captain in deciding to bat first. And then he just played his natural game from there. If it was in his zone, he was going for it, and then everything else he was defending with his life. So that was great to see, and that's something we know Finchie can do. And then obviously Harry has taken to test cricket pretty well. He's quite a calm and relaxed fella and just goes about his business. So for those two to put on 120 for the first week, it's just been brilliant. And like I said before, it's set us up at the back end here as well.
Well done for the Australian camp. Thanks for talking to us. Best of luck for the second innings. Cheers for having a chat to Grandstand.
Beautiful. Thanks, boss.
Peter Hanscom joining us downstairs. Clint Wilden alongside Ed Cowan. And next to him, Dirk Nannis. Lots to dissect over all of that as well. Moment that mattered most in the day for both of you, Dirk and Ed, was there one that stood out in a weird way? The disappointment that just rolled around the ground when Travis Head, who'd put himself in such a terrific position, really did seem to throw his wicket away. There were some real positives, some great starts. The Marcus Harris, as I mentioned before, his partnership at the top up alongside Aaron Finch was great, but that was that moment where you were left scratching your head and you hope even though the score at stumps, 6 for 277, very solid start by the Australians, doesn't come back to cost them.
I thought that dismissal of Travis Head, his whole innings looked at stages where he was going to get out at any stage. For me, it was the wicket that happened at the other end in Sean Marsh. He seemed to be the most accomplished during that middle period where it was starting to be challenging, balls were nipping around. He looked comfortable, and it looked like a big score was his for the taking, and his dismissal, I thought, was a little bit out of the blue. I thought the wicket was going to fall at the other end. So, for me, I think that was the key moment between, well, what could be here 300, but he looked set to make a massive score.
For me, that was also a key moment, but India didn't take the opportunity. Sean Marsh opened the door with four overs before the second new ball, and then the door was not walked through at all. They kept up with the off spin, they took the new ball, and they didn't maximise the opportunity that Australia had given them, because it went Marsh, then Head. They could have been all out 270, instead they're 6 for 270, and that's the difference in these low-scoring games. For mine, the other key moment of the day was Marcus Harris's dismissal. He was flying. He had played beautifully, and it was a key moment for me because I felt he was going to score his first Test match 100. And a ball leapt off a length, and he had to fend the off-spinner off his nose in the end, and he got caught at slip. And I felt sorry for him because he had played beautifully on a tricky wicket, chanceless, and in the end couldn't do anything about the dismissal.
That's not his fault. That's just the wicket coming and saying it's your time's up.
Let's take you back to the very start of the day's play. Speaking of Marcus Harris and what he was able to do, alongside Aaron Finch, the pair put on a terrific partnership of 112, both getting half centuries. Here are some of those highlights.
Bumrah in again, bowls to Finch. That's short, and he does get onto it. And he dispatches it out to the mid-wicket boundary for four.
Now around the wicket again, Harris full driving. Just a punch, almost a check shot, but the ball has raced off the face of the bat. Running away towards us at long on. For four, Deshant races in, bowls full. Another drive down the ground, offside this time by Marcus Harris. That'll be another boundary. Back-to-back fours.
Driving on the offside, lovely shot from Harris. That will go to the rope for four. Yadav saw it race past him. Yadav away, angled off the bat. It hits the deck and then will race to the boundary, wide of gully.
Short and it's cut away in full control. Good shot from Marcus Harris.
Waits Shanley bowling around the wicket. Left-hander driving, square drive. Should get four, will get four. Shammy again then. Harris driving and that's another square drive. That'll be four more. A couple of imperious strokes this over from Marcus Harris. Harris gets one, comes back in, knocks it into the onside for the single, which brings up his 50. And listen to the crowd here. This is a young player who learns his cricket in WA. Marcus Harris is 50 not out.
But here's Shami bowling. Harris back and gets a run. That's the 100 partnership. Another new combination for Australia in this series. Harris getting a single and the crowd applauding. And well they might. He bowls now, tossing up and driven. And driven well. Wide of mid-off. It's steaming away to the boundary for four. Lahari again pitching up. And this time he's forward and getting a run for his half century. Another half century for Finch, his first at home in a test match. He raises his bat to acknowledge the warm applause all around this vast stadium.
It was the sort of partnership that the Australians craved at the top of the order, and Finch and alongside him Harris delivering. Finch putting on 50, and then Harris was out there for a little bit longer before he was unlucky to be out for 70. How important was that, Ed Cowan, for what we were expecting from the Australians after the disappointment for both in Adelaide, where we saw Marcus Harris, two knocks of 26 and showed some poise but couldn't go on with it, and Finch coming in off the back of a dark and 11.
Yeah, forgetting the big picture here for a second, it feels that is going to be the definitive partnership of the game. I just can't see any partnership having more impact on the game than that first one. You know, it's going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to get harder to bat. And India, as I said, you know, they were playing ball with the Australians. They served up some half ollies. They served up some half trackers. But Finch and Harris were equally brilliant in pouncing all over the loose stuff. And they raced away to, you know, 100 without loss. And, you know, in a low-scoring game, that's, for mine, that's going to be the difference.
It was almost an hour there where they just handed Australia the advantage. And until Shammy really came on, Shammy was the first bowler that really sort of hit that area and asked enough questions. You saw a couple of LBW appeals, one of them referred and deemed too high. The next one shown as umpire's call. And then really ended, it was Aaron Finch who got himself out when he played all around a straight one, a half volley that was crashing in the middle and leg. But prior to that, you know, the damage is largely done. But giving a team 100 free runs, mind you, maybe I'm being a little bit generous in saying they're free runs, but you still got to work for them. But you know, I can't help but feel that slowness out of the blocks for India is going to cost them in the long run.
So the home side looked like they were cruising along when it was 1 for 112 after the departure of Finch, LBW to Bumrah, and then suddenly things changed very quickly. The Australians losing 3 for 22 at one stage.
Bumrah runs in again towards Finch. Finch forward, hit on the bat. How's that? That's close. He's out. That was Fuller, and he hit right across it. Bumrah gets the break. Finch is LBW for 50, and Australia 1 for 112. Away goes Umesh, and he's edged, and he's caught. He flashed at that. He's got the outside edge. Khawaj is out for 5. It flicked the edge. You could hear the nick. And he's on his bike. Australia prosperous an hour ago. Now 2 for 130.
Hurry again.
Oh, taking an edge. It's gone straight to the slip. And he's been caught. Harris departs. The Australians 3 for 134. And that's the end of Marcus Harris.
So 3 for 134, and it didn't get much better with Hanscom adding just 7 before he was out, 4 for 148. And it looked like perhaps the Indians had worked it out. Things had swung back their way, Ed Cowan.
Certainly at that point you felt as though it was a 50-50 contest. Maybe Australia had their noses in front, and that was another little opportunity for India to get back in the game in a big way. But they didn't. They lost momentum again. The key to that little period of play for India was purely their length control. They've tied Usman Khawaja down. They tied Pete Hanscom down. They gave them nothing. And as soon as those two got out, they went back to bowling too full, too short, and the ball started disappearing again. So the recipe that had brought them so much success, they left out in the kitchen, and Australia got ahead of the game again.
I think that was brought about the way Travis Head came out to bat. I thought when he first came to the crease, he looked shaky. And I think India smelt blood and went away from the plan that brought them success with those first few wickets. And once they got carried away, they were too short, too full, and I think that's what was their undoing. And it was only until later in the day that they actually wrested a little bit of control back, but by then they'd let Australia put on another big partnership and seize these periods of the game where they're shutting down that could come back and bite them.
Pete Hanscom added just 7 when he fell. That score 4 for 148, but it took a stunning catch from the Indian captain to remove him.
Down to this bat, held high. Sharma in, cuts, edge taken. Oh, blinding one-handed catch. It's Virat Kohli in the slips, the captain marvel. He has plucked one out of the sky. One-handed to his right. What a tremendous way to take a wicket early in this evening session. Hanscom is out for 7. Australia 4 for 148.
So, Ed Cowan, we discussed this during the commentary, but we've now seen 2 brilliant catches in back-to-back test matches. Kohli here, day one of the second test. Compare and contrast both you and Dirk Nannis, that catch for what we saw from Usman Khawaja in the first.
As Kohli's driving, what a catch! He's out caught in the gully to an absolute blinder by Khawaja, diving to his left, Alan Bordestein. He's plucked it one-handed, and King Kohli is heading back to the sheds. He's out for 3. Pat Cummins strikes 3 for 19, and an early claim for catch of the summer, Usman Khawaja. Uzi did it brilliantly, reflex action to his left, and now India in all sorts at 3 for 19.
So, an early call for catch of the summer. How do you rank Kohli's against it today?
Oh, look, it might be a little bit of recency bias, but I thought Kohli's was equally as brilliant, maybe even a little bit better. They both supreme pieces of fielding, great athleticism. I feel as though Usman's might have gone, you know, at a nicer height to catch. You're always expecting the ball off the front foot in the gully. This was a top edge. It was a cut shot. It was high. They're always hard to catch above your head, and he just plucked it out of the sky like a bear sort of plucking a salmon out of the river, and it was brilliant. Look, I'm giving it to Coley.
Yeah, I'm not having that at all. No, I think Usman left-handed diving to the left. You can talk about the height, but the skill to catch that in the wrong hand, and it came very quick. I thought Virat's today came a lot slower. Yes, it was a great catch. Didn't have to dive necessarily. Great catch, but maybe if you were scoring him out of 10, you'd probably get Usman 9 and give Virat 8.
You are. It's bloody hell. Unbelievable.
Tough judge.
Usman was a 9.5 and Virat was a 9.75. You could not get two better catches. Name a better catch that you've seen live than that today. I'll let you think overnight. Go back to me in the morning.
You've got to go back to the likes of the old Glenn McGrath on the Adelaide boundary, that sort of thing. It was a stunning catch.
I agree, 8's a little bit low.
Yeah, 8 was low. Yeah. I'm still with you, though. 2-1 in favour of Usman Khawaja, but Coley's catch was a beauty. We talked about it with Pete Hanscom, but the wicket here in Perth, a little bit up and down. Marcus Harris got one that stayed incredibly low. A couple did really fire through, and we saw a few hit the cracks that we think will make it really interesting, certainly on days 4 and 5 if we get that far. Assess the wicket for us if you're one of the Indian bowlers today, and indeed on the other side, if you're one of the Aussie bats. What did you make of it all, Dirk Nannis?
I can't help but feel that the Indians would be disappointed with the day and the amount of times they ask questions of the Australians. Yes, the wicket's doing tricks. The challenging thing for India is going to be that they're going to have to bat on it last, and it's only going to deteriorate more. So the Indian batsmen are going to be sitting there worried out of their skin. The Australians will be happy. All they need to do is put enough balls in the right area, and eventually each one of the Indian batsmen is going to have a ball with their name on it, and that's going to be the challenge moving forward in this game. So 277 might not sound like a lot on a whack a wicket. That's a traditional whack a wicket, but 277 is, I think, that's a big number.
I think the name that we will be talking about over the weekend is Josh Hazlewood. This wicket reeks of a Hazlewood fifer. He's going to cause some havoc. If I was a member of the Indian top order and he's not leaving that 10-cent piece in and around my off stump, I'm having nightmares tonight lying in bed of Josh Hazlewood.
Two highlights to wrap it up individually. Sean Marsh and Travis Head came together. They needed to put on another partnership, and they did so, adding 84 between them. Marsh would have been delighted to get the rapturous applause as he headed out to bat. He put on 45. Here's how he got out.
This is Bahari Bowles. Slashing Sean Marsh. He's been caught at first slip. It's a fine take as well. Marsh frustrated, he stepped back and tried to give that everything, looking for the cut shot, but he's out for 45. Faced 97 deliveries. Marsh departs, Bahari has his first wicket. Sean Marsh caught at first slip. The Australians 5 for 232, Marsh departs for 45.
Second wicket actually for Fahari there, the player who came in to replace the spinner. And then Travis Head put on 58. Let's enjoy some of the highlights of his innings.
Head on strike. Ishant continuing, took the wicket in the last over. Knocked behind square on the onside. It's a long chase for fine leg. The ball is whistling across the outfield for 4.
Chamick comes in. Travis Head on the back foot. Clips it hard behind point and down to the boundary it goes for 4.
Fahari in. Head forward, clipping it up into the air. It goes just to the left of the fielder, who is at mid-on, and it goes to the rope for 4.
Hurry again. Heads back, cuts. It goes backward, a backward point. That will be 4.
Nice little innings from Travis Head this. He's earned every run. It hasn't been easy going, but he scored them at a clip. His role in this team is growing every innings. He's trusting his defence and it's allowing his attack to flourish.
Shami bowls from round the wicket and it's a punch in the air, down to the boundary at third man for four. Then he bowls to Ed, who's driving through the offside, no timing at all. And
declaration batting. Very expansive stroke. Third ball of the new rock.
So Ishant with the new ball. He'll angle it across the left-hander from round the wicket. He does. And there's a drive that goes down to third man. He might be caught. Declaration shot, I think, was what Dirk Nannis said a little while ago. Looked to play a big one through the offside. And the ball's gone off the outside edge straight into the hands of third man.
Once again, extraordinary batting. I can't explain logic behind going out.
Don't try
hard with that. It's as though as soon as the ball was new, he's going harder at it.
Really did seem like Travis Head just had a rush of blood to the head. The way that he got out, the frustrating one for the Australian supporters who were hoping so much that they would have seen him to go on and score a big innings. 6 for 277, the Australians at stumped after winning the toss and electing to bat. What is a good first innings total, Ed Cowan?
About 20 runs ago, I reckon.
So they're past what they would be hoping.
I think they've got heaps.
Yep.
I mean, that's the feel we saw in the first-class game here. New South Wales make 260 in the first innings and win convincingly. Look, I think any team chasing more than 150 in the last innings is curtains.
150 is a big call. It's almost in the scale of my 8 out of 10 for Virat Kohli's catch.
We'll see. we'll see. I think Australia will get 320. India will probably get 200. Australia will get 200 and set them 330 and they'll probably get 150.
And so on that, the question would be, tomorrow sometime, do we see Virat Kohli and what do you expect from him?
Like I said earlier, I think at any stage of the game now, there is going to be a ball that's bowled that's got every single batter's name on it. And he's going to have to come out and play his normal shots, and at some stage he's going to get unlucky like everyone else is going to be. Over the course of this summer, we're going to expect him to play a magnificent hand. Is that going to be here on this wicket? I'm not sure. We saw a couple of deliveries do remarkable things. Tim Payne got a ball that jagged away, missed his off stump. It was impossible for anyone in the world to actually get a little bit of a stick on it. So some stage, Virat's going to get that. Every batter's going to get that. And it's going to get worse as the game goes on. Yes, he's got to make some runs, but so too does everyone else around him.
Yeah, if one of the Indian batsmen gets in and gets 100, it will be 100 for the ages, because I don't think that the Australians will be giving as many freebies as the Indians gave away today. As I said, Cummins and Hazelwood on this wicket, relentless pressure. Whew, you're going to have to earn your runs tomorrow.
Ed Cowan and Dirk Nannis, their thoughts here on Grandstand at Stumps. If you're listening to us in WA and you're on Grandstand Digital as well, you're off to the NBL. The Wildcats take on the Sydney Kings. And, of course, join us for Grandstand tomorrow from midday Eastern. Play getting underway at 1:20 Australian Eastern Time here at Perth Stadium, 10:20 local. Let's have a listen back to how we saw the day on Grandstand Test Cricket.
Bumrah in again, bowls to Finch. That's short and he does get onto it. And he dispatches it out to the mid-wicket boundary for four.
Now around the wicket again, Harris Full driving. Just a punch, almost a check shot, but the ball has raced off the face of the bat. Running away towards us at long on for four. Bend forward as Ishant races in, bowls Full. Another drive down the ground, offside this time by Marcus Harris. That'll be another boundary. Back-to-back fours.
Get out of the way. Angle off the bat. It hits the deck and then will race to the boundary. Wide of Gully.
Short and it's cut away. Full control. Good shot from Marcus Harris. It's a long boundary down there at deep point and it just about gets there.
Waits Shami bowling around the wicket. Left-hander driving, square drive. Racing across this outfield. Should get four, will get four. He's on 41 though, Shami in. Oh, and he's beaten.
Well, I think we'll find the ball bounced about 5 centimetres off the ground. It's hit a crack. There's no doubt in my mind this has rolled along the ground. Oh my goodness. Good luck batting last on this wicket.
Harris gets one that comes back in, knocks it into the onside. The single which brings up his 50. And listen to the crowd here. It's of the young player who learns his cricket in WA. Marcus Harris is 50 not out.
He bowls now, tossing up and driven well, wide of mid-off. It's steaming away to the boundary for four. Vihari again, pitching up, and this time he's forward and getting a run for his half century. Raises his bat to acknowledge the warm applause. Runs in again towards Finch. Finch forward. Hit on the bat. How's that? That's close. He's out. That was Fuller and he hit right across it. Bumrah gets the break. Finch is LBW for 50. Yumesh and he's edged and he's caught. He flashed at that. He's got the outside edge. Khawaja's out for five. Australia prosperous an hour ago. Now two. For 130.
Hurry again.
Oh, taking an edge. It's gone straight to the slip and he's been caught. Harris departs. The Australians three for 134. Harris is out. He departs for 70.
Sharma in, cuts, edge taken. Oh, blinding one-handed catch. It's Virat Kohli in the slips, the captain marvel. He has plucked one out of the sky. One-handed to his right. What a tremendous way to take a wicket early in this evening session. Hanscom is out for seven. Australia four for 148.
The other balls and Marsh goes into the pull shot and pulls beautifully in front of square for four.
Now comes forward and clips the ball hard. Back down the ground towards the boundary. It goes for four. Chamick comes in. Travis Head on the back foot. Clips it hard behind point and down to the boundary. It goes for four.
Vihari.
Head forward, clipping it up into the air. Goes just to the left of the fielder, who is at mid-on, and it goes to the rope for four.
Hurry again. Heads back, cuts.
He goes backward, a backward point. That will be four. Clipped away by Marsh. That's straight through mid-wicket, and that's four more.
It's a lovely shot.
This is Vihari bowls.
Slashing Sean Marsh. He's been caught at first slip. It's a fine take as well. Marsh frustrated. He stepped back and tried to give that everything, looking for the cut shot. The Australians five for 232. Marsh departs for 45.
Chamy in, defending head.
And they scamper through for a very quick single. He just knocked it away onto the offside. Hayne was determined to make the run. That is good running, and that is the half century. Travis Head, his third 50 of his career. And he brings it up at a very important time for this Australian side.
Nice little innings from Travis Head this. He scored them at a clip. His role in this team is growing every innings. He's trusting his defence and it's allowing his attack to flourish.
Chamy bowls from round the wicket and it's a punch in the air down to the boundary, a third man for four. Then he bowls to Head, who's driving through the offside, no timing at all. A
declaration batting. Very expansive strike from
round the wicket. He does. And there's a drive that goes down to third man. He might be caught. Declaration shot, I think, was what Doug Nannis said a little while ago. Look to play a big one through the offside.
Oh, I can't explain logic behind going out.
Don't try.
Hard with that. It's as though as soon as the ball was new, he's going harder at it.
So Head is gone for 58. Australia 251 for six.
Last ball of the day. Bumrah runs into Cummins. Cummins hit on the pad and appeal for LBW. A big shout. Are they going to review this? No. Australia go in a handy position here. Six for 277.